They're heading back to their seats. Nice job, brother. Thank you, Andrew, for that word. I have a question to lead us into our time, a question and then a prayer. So in the reading today, knowing full well who he is writing to, Peter tells, he almost commands his audience to be holy. Now, Peter is writing to people who are being persecuted. I don't know about you, but I would not feel great if I was already having a pretty hard time in life, somebody giving me even more to do, right? So why would Peter call persecuted people to be holy? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word that makes all things new. Lord, make it new in our hearts today, whether we've heard this these verses 1,000 times, we've read them 100 times, or this is our first time experiencing them, Jesus. Help us to hear what you are speaking to us in this moment for our faith, for your glory. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right. So in South Carolina, in Charleston, there is a church by the name of Emmanuel. Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church. And it's been around, it's one of the oldest African-American churches in the country. And a few years ago, it encountered, the people there, God's people there, encountered some violence and suffering. There was a lone shooter that came in, posing as like he was attending Bible study, and then proceeded to inflict his hatred on the people gathered there. And the Christians gathered there as they were grieving and reeling from all of this happening were faced with a choice. Do they press charges and go after this guy? I think that's something the city or the county did anyway. Or, as the people of God, do they do something different? And they showed the depth of grace, the generosity, and that holiness, God's holiness, is as generous as his grace. They forgave that shooter. Now, he was still tried and convicted, and he is in prison. But as a worshiping community that had every right to demand their rights, they chose to forgive instead, because they know the love of Jesus. They forgave because they know the depth of God's grace for them. They were holy because God worked holiness among them. And that is what Peter is writing about. People who are suffering, people who are being persecuted, people who have been dispersed from Jerusalem to all different areas, 5 that Peter lists specifically here at the beginning. He is writing specifically to people gathered in what we know as Turkey. At this point, it was called Asia. But we know it today as the country of Turkey. And it's these 5 churches, these 5 cities, these 5 congregations where people are gathered hiding because of what they've lost and what they've suffered. And so Peter is writing to them something to remind them of who God is, but also who they are. Because that's the thing when suffering happens. When you're in the midst of pain, it's easy to forget. It's easy for pain to distract you, or for you to doubt or despair of what was before. And actually, it's something we preached about last week. But Peter speaks to these people to remind them of who God is, but also to remind them of who they are. They are not people who give in to sin anymore, right? That's who they used to be. God is calling them to be different now. And so in these words from Peter, we have a call to action, and then to cultivate holiness, and then to connect as you have been connected. So call to action, cultivate holiness, and connect as you have been connected. So in call to action is right there at the beginning of verse 13. Right? What's the first word at the beginning of verse 13? Say it if you know it. One, two, three. Therefore. Now, if you know anything about the word therefore, you know that it is there for a reason, right? Therefore is there for a reason. Now, what is that reason? It means those 12 verses of everything that came before, right? Which we would have covered in beautiful fashion. It would have been just a really heart-moving message this past Wednesday. And unfortunately, I'm not going to shoehorn that into this one, but I am going to touch on four verses. The first one is verse 1 from 1 Peter. So if you got a Bible with you, you want to look it up, or you want to do this later and you want to write this part down. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter starts off writing to elect exiles. Doesn't that seem like a contradiction? People who are chosen by God, the elect, and yet they're exiles. They are outside of what they're comfortable with, outside of what they've known, outside of being accepted in the communities they're in. So they're chosen by God, but they're also exiled. And they're living at the intersection of both realities. Then verse 2, we have the sanctifying work of the Spirit, sprinkling with Jesus' blood. Right? So this is important because it sets the tone for the rest of the chapter, what we're going to be talking about in our next point, but also for the rest of this book, right? The call to be holy, that the holiness is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's that you becoming holy is a work that God is doing within you, right? So remember that verb, the sanctifying work of the Spirit, sprinkling, we can spell, promise. Sprinkling with the Jesus' blood, right? The work of God always involves some connection to baptism. So sometimes the word will be outright in Scripture like a baptism. Sometimes baptism will be alluded to with words like sprinkling, right? God can work through sprinkling with the blood of Jesus that washes our sins away. And so in two more verses, verse 3, the Father caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection, right? The work of the Father isn't just through some guy or through our works. It's through the resurrection of Jesus, a person who is alive and now is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and me. But the Father is doing this work through the resurrection. So already we have the names of God, just like we talked about and we confessed in the words of the creed, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are all actively at work to wash your sin away, to make you holy, to cause you to be born again into a hope that does not die. Verse 12, it was revealed to the prophets that they were actually serving you. Right, verse 12, that leads right into the section we're talking about today. The prophets, it was revealed to them that they were serving you. And the prophets did not know the audience of 1 Peter, guaranteed. But they knew they were writing for future believers, both to the people they were writing to in Israel at the time and this group of people. But that also means that those prophets and Peter himself knew that they were serving you as well, that these words would be passed on to other people that needed them in their lives, like today. And so Peter is writing these words in addition to the words we read today. For what reason? Because of what happens when you're in pain, right? You forget who you are, and pain does change you. Right? Make no mistake, pain changes you. It changes your story. It changes how you approach the world, especially if it's a pain that lingers. As I get older, my body starts to ache more and more. I'm noticing that I'm arching my back a little bit more than I used to, or that my back is responding more, so I'm trying to work my core muscles, right, to relieve my back muscles and my spine. And pain changes you. You walk different. You wake up different. Sometimes you lean into things like ibuprofen a little bit more than you used to. But pain changes you. And what Peter wants the persecuted to know is that they are not alone and they're not forgotten. Jesus knows pain. Jesus knows suffering and death and loss. And so the people who are being persecuted can be assured that God is no stranger to what they're enduring. Think about Jesus' exile from the Father, in a sense, right? He left the Father's side to dwell on earth for 33 years. God knows what it's like to be in a place that's not home. Or even think about the world he made, but when he came into it, his own creation did not receive him. Like, it's his. It should have been celebrated the world over. Instead, there was an obscure, a one-time reference of angels filling heaven, making it known to shepherds, and that was kind of it. Jesus' own creation didn't receive him. He knows what it's like to be estranged, but he also knows what it's like to make something home, to begin to restore things better than they ever were. And that's what Jesus is about. And that is a hope that those who are persecuted need. Perhaps that's a hope you need to hear today too. I don't know what this last week was like for you with power out. It flickered at our house a little bit. The drive home was a little bit dicey because it was a little bit icy. But by the grace of God and some prayers of you all, I got there. So thank you for that. Those prayers are not nothing. But I know a lot of you were without power for a while. Some of you had generators, some of you didn't. And so know that God is with you in those moments too. When you got questions like, Jesus, what are we doing here? Why is this happening? You know, when will the power come back on? Why do the DTE maps not actually show an accurate display of outages? They're doing the best they can. But Jesus is with you in that. You are not alone or forgotten. And remember who you are. Now, Peter will go on to talk about how the persecuted, right, the people in the five cities he's addressing. They're a chosen people. They're a royal priesthood. They're a holy nation, right? We'll talk about that down the road. But now he's calling them. He's reminding them of the fact that God is holy. And so he's calling you to be holy. He's calling you to remember who you are, that you are one in whom God has done all of this work, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In light of all of this love, all of this truth, all of this blessing, all of this work that God is doing within you, in your midst, to give you hope, to remind you of who you are, there's this call to be holy. And so God cultivates holiness. As you think about the verbs in 13 through 25, like we read, and you think about some of the verbs that we just read in the four verses from the first part of First Peter chapter 1, you think about there are verbs that Peter's calling them to do. Be holy, you know, be sober-minded, live a certain way, act a certain way, act as ones who have been, you know, redeemed by Jesus, that have the Holy Spirit sanctifying them, that who have been filled with a living hope by the Father. That's a lot of work, especially when you're being persecuted. Now, to be fair, all right, we're not being persecuted today. We're in a different place in our culture than we were, right? We don't have the privileged place that we used to, but we're not being persecuted. Maybe that's coming, maybe it's not, God knows. But right now, we have an opportunity with a voice that's a little more outside of what we're used to still use that voice to speak into the lives of our neighbors. And as we adjust to this change, right, church is no longer the center. We can't just make things known and people will show up here, right? We have to go out and do things, as we're talking about with West Park, as we're talking about with Alpha House, as we do community groups on Tuesday nights, and we hope to start some new community groups over the next year. But that's a lot of work, right? I thought God's doing the work here. And make no mistake, He is. He is. Be holy means believe God's word and work. Because to be holy means you are in a state of holiness. And I don't know about you, you can ask my family. They will tell you, in no uncertain terms, that I am not holy. I am a good sinner. Maybe your family can say the same about you. Maybe more than you'd want. But the truth is that as I strive to follow Jesus, I still fall and fail in my life in this world. So what do we do with this call to be holy, even as we're sinners? We look to the words of 1 Peter. Because being holy is not just hard, it's impossible. Right? I cannot be holy on my own. Right, one of the things that we learn as we grow in faith here, whether you're learning faith from a young age or you're just learning the faith at this age, whatever age you are now, one of the things we learn is that we can't, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus or come to him, nor can we follow him on our own reason or strength. Right, that is the work of the Holy Spirit, that sanctifying work Peter hinted at in chapter 1, verse 3. But he's expounding upon that now in chapter 1, verse 13 and following, right? To be holy as Jesus, as God is holy. That's something he called the Israelites to as well. They couldn't do that either. How many of you are doing reading the Bible through a year plan right now? Anybody? Nobody doing that? All right. If you haven't done that before, I encourage you to do it. And if you can't remember everything, that's okay. It's not about holding on to everything you read. It's about reviewing and remembering everything that God is revealing to you. And I will tell you, I'm through Numbers now. I got a bit of a drive here. So I got some good time to listen to God's word. And so I'm towards the end of Numbers. And so it's the fourth book in the first five books of the Bible. And God's people are always doubting Moses. They're always complaining that they don't have enough, or what God has provided for them isn't as good as the food they had under slavery. Like, and I got to wonder, like, how good were those onions that they were like, oh, the, you know, the meat and the onions and the leeks. I'm like, really, was it that good? Because I think when you were in that scene, you were crying out about something else. But that's just kind of who we are as humans, right? Whatever situation you're in, we're going to find the thing we don't like, and we're going to get worked up about it. And so Moses is constantly interceding for the people, seeking God's holiness and his grace for the people. And so as God found a way, even amongst their grumbling and complaining, to make them holy, to give them grace, God comes to us all the more through Jesus, for sure, and through the Spirit to make you holy. And to be sure, right, we're still sinners and saints, right? At Emmaus, we believe deeply that both things are true, that the Word of God is true, and that when God calls you holy, you are for the sake of Jesus and for the sake of the work of the Spirit sanctifying you, continuing to make you holy. And we're also really good sinners. And so that's why I look forward every time. My favorite moment in a gathering is to hear the words of forgiveness. To hear that word from God that our sins are forgiven. And that's a reminder for us as individuals and us as a gathering of people that our sins do not keep us separate from God any longer. That Jesus has overcome that. And even more than forgiving us sin, God is making us holy because God's holiness is as generous as his grace. And God works holiness among you. And so as God works holiness among you, love as you have been loved. Right? That's the call at the end of towards the end of the reading, right? To love one another. As Jesus has brought about and brought to work this brotherly love among you, so love one another. And we get to do that in just a little bit, right, downstairs. To show some love to St. Paul at times too and to ULC. But our call during the week is to love one another as we can, you know, across the distances. We've got opportunities to connect. But for those who are disconnected, those maybe who had experienced church earlier in their life, and because of that, they want nothing to do with church. Or because of the way things have happened in our culture, those who have never heard the name of Jesus, or have only heard it as a word to use when you stub your toe, or when things are really frustrating. God has a chance, has an opportunity through you to make his love known to them, because he's made it known to you. And so connect as you have been and you are connected. Love one another from a pure heart in verse 22 means from the new heart God gives you. The new heart God gives you. You get this heart. You get this love from this heart that comes from the living and from living and abiding Word of God, from the living and abiding Word of God in verse 23. Right? So we love as we've been loved. We know about this love from the living and abiding work of God that gives us a new heart. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23, favorite Bible verse. It is a whole book about lamenting being in exile, because it's written by the prophet Jeremiah when Israel's in exile. And in the midst of all of this lament is these two beautiful verses, verses 22 and 23 in chapter 3 of Lamentations, where Jeremiah writes that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. So God makes his mercy new every morning. So every time you see the sun, that should be a visible reminder that God has new mercy shining down on you, new holiness for you, new grace for you, coming from a heart that he is daily renewing through his living and abiding word. And so when you experience pain and struggle, we can have that pink little rubber ducky with whipped cream and a cherry on top. That reminds you, or maybe it's the sun, or maybe it's your family. Or for me right now, I've been trying for years to just push myself to sit down and start a gratitude journal. And it's been slow in coming, because it happened like once a month, and then like a couple days a month. And now I'm getting a few days every week, not every day of the week, but a few days a week where I sit down and just three things from which flows gratitude for me. And it's amazing to see that even in the midst of stress and sin and brokenness, this morning even, there were three things I wrote down. And I wish there, I mean, it's my journal. I could do what I want, right? I could write down there the things that I'm stressed about, but that's not the point. Right, there will always be things that stress you out. There will always be things that cause your mind to spin and get stirred up for something other than Jesus. But God, in his abiding word, with his new heart and holiness and grace for you, is stirring something else within you, stirring you to be centered on him. So you're not spinning, you're serving. So you're not anxious, you're at peace. Or, at the very least, you have anxiety and peace, because we are sinners and saints. And so pain, struggle, and hardship, the case of Peter's churches and persecution, right? It's like grass that's here today and gone tomorrow. Now, why can Peter write that? One, it comes from a psalm that grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. That's true because humans are like grass. We fade, we fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. So even as Peter is calling this persecuted people to remember who they are and to be holy, he's doing that through the blood and work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he ends with these beautiful words. And this word is the good news that you heard. Right? This word about what God has done for you. There's a phrase in our reading today where it says that God has done this for you. Anytime you read "for you," that is the gospel. That is good news of God doing something that you don't deserve, but he gives it to you all the same. And that is the beauty and center of why God gathers us as Emmaus here and now, because of what he does for you. This holiness that we could never earn on our own. These grateful hearts that God is cultivating, hearts that become transformed by his holiness. And that's what sets us apart from not just being pious and wrapped up in our own action, right? We're not being holy for the sake of being good, right? We do good things because God is at work within us, right? It's not our own action. It's not our own steps. It's the power and the work of God alive in you. And so that's what we see when we gather together in his name, and we don't give up gathering together. That's what we see when we gather on Tuesdays as a community group. We had our biggest group ever this past Tuesday night at the Youth House, which, by the way, is across the street, right? It's just across 3rd Street. So 3rd Street is just outside these windows running north and south. The very next house at the corner, that's the Youth House. That's where we meet. It's Tuesdays at 6 o'clock. And we're studying Colossians right now. And we get to see the power of God at work in that group too. We've got some events coming up in March. Some signups will be coming out for that, for West Park, for Alpha House. You already have a sign up for praying through the city, praying through Ann Arbor. And we do these things not because we believe in our own propaganda, right? We're not hyped up on our own juice. No, we believe what God makes known to us. We believe the good news that God is making known to you today, that you are holy because he is holy. You are forgiven because he forgives. You are loved because he loves you. God's holiness is as generous as his grace. That is what God is making known for you today. Let's pray. Jesus.